Ginseng root has long been used in folk medicine in the U.S. and Asia, but now it's big business, appearing in pills, energy drinks, and even cosmetics. The manufacturers of these products buy ginseng from a seller. The seller buys it from a network of buyers, and those buyers purchase it from those who dig it out of the ground. So before all the glitzy packaging and promises, the main ingredient in your energy pill may have started in North Springs, Tennessee, with Ward Kemp. As part of WUOT's Next Wave Radio project, Kelsey Willis has more.
What did this building used to be?
It's been a grocery store, a little furniture store.
It's a rainy day in a small town near the Kentucky-Tennessee border. Ward Kemp, my grandfather, leads me to a drab little clapboard building with an old plywood sign in the window, Kemp's Ginseng.
It's a mess here. I'm ashamed of this place. It's such a mess now. I don't even have to sweep out or anything.
I see a mouse-gnawed leather chair in the corner. The floor creaks. My grandfather seems embarrassed. He likes order. He's known in his local ginseng markets as an honest man who prefers business by the rules, fairness, and a precise ledger.
You put your ginseng in these drawers here.
My grandfather gave up buying and selling ginseng this year after a half century in the business. Even without any of the medicinal root here, the smell still hangs in the air. It's musty and spicy, the scent of tree roots. My grandmother, Lenita, used to call it the smell of money.
There's been days when $3,000-$5,000 a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not every day, though, of course. But,
no, but there would be people to come in with a big load of it.
That $3,000-$5,000 a day is the cash my grandfather would get from the tiny bank in the next town over every morning. He'd pay his customers, his diggers. They're the people who wander the hills and know where to find the scraggly root growing wild in the woods. During his 50 years, my grandfather saw the price of ginseng vary between 85 cents an ounce in 1959 to a high of $52 an ounce in 2005. That year, he saw more diggers than ever.
You had all kinds of people. You had retired people that did it for the fun of it, maybe didn't necessarily have to have the money, but they could use the money. But then you had people that dug it for because they needed to buy food.
My grandfather entered the ginseng trade accidentally. In 1959, he bought a country store and inherited its customer base. I spent a lot of time at the store as a child, and I remember the diggers. They were mostly men in their 50s and 60s, wearing faded work shirts and worn jeans. They would sit on the old church pew my grandfather had in the front of the little store, beside a shelf full of dusty sundry items. After selling the store in 1997, my grandfather moved his ginseng business, and his crowd of diggers, to the little gray clapboard building across the road from his home. It was just close enough for my grandmother to cook dinner at the house while fielding calls from customers.
Anita, she operated the phone about all the time, and she was real nice too, and they liked her.
They liked to talk, and I did too.
Now, at 78 years old and after 50 years of ginseng trading, my grandfather is done. He won't sell or buy ginseng this year. My grandparents and the diggers have both been trying to adjust since buying season opened a few months ago.
Since August the 15th, I guess there hasn't been a day that somebody didn't call wanting to know what we were paying for ginseng.
Do you miss just having something to do, or is it just
I miss
seeing
just
all
having
the
fellows to talk with that I always had there. But I enjoyed it, and I think they did too. There's my scales.
Back in the little gray building, mice scurry along the walls and around the scales that have seen hundreds of pounds of ginseng exchanged for tens of thousands of dollars. The building belongs to the mice now.
Does that turn both of the lights off then?
Yeah.
For WUOT, I'm Kelsey Willis.